Meanwhile, on Last Chance Podcast.
Okay, Chris's. It was your challenge to give me the best summary you could. Chris, you overcooked your summary. Chris, your summary was too salty. And Chris, you couldn't even get a summary on the plate.
Well, we had a good run.
Michael, you weren't competing, but I still hate you and you lost.
Okay, boo-boo.
But Chris, you gave me a great summary. Well-seasoned, contained just a hint of dick jokes. Welcome back to the show.
Pip, pip.
Welcome back to Pack Your Mics, the Top Chef podcast from the creators of Read It and Weep. Each week, we bring you a breakdown of the most recent episode of our favorite reality competition show, Top Chef, with summaries, analysis, and clothing discussions and snark. We're not food experts, but we are food TV experts. I'm your host, Alex Falcone, and I'm joined by my top friends.
See what you did there, Alex.
As I introduce you, let's all answer the question from some listener mail we got this week from Pretty. I don't know. Anyway, we got a question by email, which you can send us at podcast@readdishweep.com. And she asked,
if you want to send pronunciation of your name, we won't have this mistake next time.
Or we can just say Nola.
Anyway, so podcast@readdishweep.com. So here's what Pretty asked us. Have any of you eaten at a Chef Testant's restaurant? If so, did it live up to your expectations? If not, whose restaurant would be at the top of your list to visit? So, I'm your host. I'm in Portland, Oregon. And Megan and I have eaten at a bunch of we've not eaten at any Chef Testant's restaurants, but we've eaten at a couple of judges' restaurants and restaurants that appeared. So we ate at Tom's. We ate at one of the intern sandwiches at Tom's restaurant.
At Witchcraft.
Oh yeah, I ate there.
Which Witchcraft were you at?
We were in San Francisco.
We were there.
Yeah, you guys were there.
Behind the curtain with
Megan and I also ate at Veej's restaurant. Veej was one of the judges on Top Chef Canada.
The Indian guy.
Yeah, and we ate at his restaurant.
I ate at his wife's restaurant, I think.
In Seattle?
Oh, yeah, we really wanted to do that.
His wife real
has
good.
A mostly vegetarian restaurant in Seattle.
Real good. And all the cooks are women. Everything's made with love.
Veej's was probably the best restaurant I've ever eaten at. It was incredible. We've also eaten at a Top Chef Masters restaurant here in Portland. And we also ate at Milestones.
Yeah.
Oh. It was Lincoln Restaurant.
Oh, God.
Sorry, Lincoln Restaurant. Also, on Top Chef Canada theme, we ate at Milestones, which is the Applebee's of Canada, I think.
And I think it's more like the Keg of Canada.
Okay. It was fine. Anyway, so that's a bit of our history. But I think the better question is, who would you like to eat at? And Bravo actually has one thing they've done well in this whole web presence that they have. The one thing they've done really well is that there's now a map of previous and current contestants' restaurants all around the country.
I have so many problems with this.
You had some problem with it?
Oh, yeah. But please keep going.
Well, this is what needed to happen. I mean, like, I wanted that. It wasn't maybe the smoothest map, but it was great that the map existed. Anyway, that's a lot of introduction. My point is, I want to eat at Ernie's Food and Spirits, which is Michael from season... He was, like, the prep cook from season 2 who worked at Chili's.
Oh, who got the wisdom teeth out?
Did he get his wisdom teeth out? I don't remember. I just remember that he was the guy that no one thought would win, but kept hanging on for a while.
Yeah.
And made, like, really bad sandwiches and was just a lovable guy. And so I would totally eat at his place. Megan, where would you like to eat?
Well, I'll just add to our list of...
Accomplishments
as Top Chef fans. Uh-huh. So Lincoln Restaurant here in Portland is owned by Jen Lewis from... The last season of Top Chef Masters, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she went. She went three or four episodes in.
Most recent.
She went a little while.
The other Top Chef Masters food we've eaten is Naomi Pomeroy.
Yeah,
is a chef here in Portland, and we're vegetarian, and she has a restaurant called
We Hate Vegetarians
called Beast that serves like all meat. But she did do an ice cream for this local ice cream shop called Salt and Straw.
Yeah.
They had a chef's ice cream of the month or something.
Yeah.
And she had an ice cream with, I think it's called foyatine or foyatine.
Foyatine?
Did it taste like foil or did it taste like poutine?
Half of both. Like
Reynolds wrap poutine.
Drizzled in gravy.
A pastry thing. It's like it tastes sort of like little teeny bits of ice cream cone.
Yeah.
That you'd find wrapped around a whisk.
Yeah, sure.
And it was really good. I really enjoyed her ice cream.
And who would you like to eat at?
I would have to say that I would like to go to the Slurping Turtle, was the restaurant that Aaron from this season works at, and it's also Chef Takashi's restaurant.
Oh, he's so good.
And
so good.
I really liked him from Masters, and also I went to the website, and it's super cute. It's got an adorable turtle on it.
Awesome. All right, so in New York, we have Chris and Tanya. Chris, welcome back.
Yep, thank you.
Where would you guys like to eat?
Tanya? Or where have we been first?
Oh, yeah, sure, where have we been? Yeah. So we also went to Witchcraft, as we spoiled earlier.
And I went to the New York location as well, in Bryant Park.
Was it good?
It was good. All the sandwiches were pre-made, but the tuna sandwich was fantastic.
Huh. Because when we went together, none of us had a great sandwich. The vegetarian one was like made, was the intern's, like, it said on the menu, it was like, we let an intern design the sandwich. It's fine.
Yeah,
I was there too once. I was also underwhelmed.
Yeah, possibly it's not us, great, but not. You know, for the money that you pay for it, at least in New York, it seems like a good value. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
And then we've also eaten at Citizen Cake, in
Sharon Faulkner's dessert place that's now closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Elizabeth. Fuck, Faulkner,
that was
right?
Sorry, that was so good. I did not mean to swear, but that dessert makes me just crazy. I love it.
Was she was a judge?
No, she was a Top Chef master as well.
Oh, a master's contestant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and she's judged. But she has the spiky blonde hair.
Yeah. Oh, she's
it's
great.
Elizabeth, I think.
Elizabeth Faulkner. Oh, thank you.
Sure.
And I ate at Absinthe in San Francisco, which was Jamie's restaurant before she got onto Top Chef.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And special surprise, you know what we ate tonight? We got takeout from Talda.
That's right!
In honor of Dale. Recording Top Chef, we got takeout from Dale's restaurant in Park Slope, Brooklyn. The pretzel dumplings were off the chain good.
Whoa, pretzel dumplings.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
I wonder if the lady from Food and Wine would think that was annoying.
I don't know, man.
Pretzels are everywhere.
But at least speaking for myself, being in New York, we have actually a few different Masters restaurants. I really want to eat at Chef Obi-Wan's restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
On Waxman. And I actually really want to eat at WD-50, Wiley Dufresne's restaurant as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say, I would...
You've always wanted to eat steak through a straw.
Well, his egg thing sounds amazing, but
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves eggs.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tanya.
I've also been to Harold's restaurant, Perilla. In the West Village.
Oh, I am so much more impressed with us than I was before. We have done some work on this. Good question, Preeti, but we're owning this.
Yeah.
No, we haven't even gotten to Esmond Serre yet.
Yeah, and my answer up until this evening would have been Talda, only because there was a really funny interview with Dale on an NPR podcast, and I officially wanted to go and sample.
Yeah, we saw Dale. He was there.
And he was there!
And we saw Elizabeth Faulkner when she was
there.
Yeah, he was wearing a backwards hat. He was, you know, making nice
with
the diners.
He was looking like your typical Brooklyn hipster and also very, like, professional. Like, he was chatting with his chefs and then, like, going around and checking on all the tables. And
he was wearing his professional hoodie and backwards cap.
Yeah. But it was really cool. So that would have been my pick. And now I have to find a new goal.
Oh, that's still pretty good. All right, and also joining us today in San Francisco, California, is Ezra and Sarah. Where have you guys gone? Where would you like to go?
So we actually haven't done as well as you guys.
Yeah, but I think we're at the same place.
Well, I have one more than you. So I've also eaten at Absinthe, and I.
Oh, nice.
Oh, did you have the pretzels with the dipping sauce? Because
I think I did. So we had when I went there, I was with a friend, and we just had a bunch of appetizers. And if that was one of them, we probably had it. I just remember it all being very good. And wishing that I wasn't so full and that I could have an entree, but I was too full. Hmm. So I've had that, and then we've both been to...
It was Michael Chiarello's, who's a master's contestant, and so it was Bottega,
I think? Yeah, in Napa, and that's
very cool.
Amazing.
That was crazy good.
I've been there twice. It's incredible.
Is it Milestones good?
It beats Milestones.
Would you say that it's Milestones above Milestones?
Kilometer Stones.
Although Milestones was not great, we really, really wanted to go to Blah Blah Blahs. And we were unable to find it convenient.
Loblaws.
I wanted to go to Loblaws so much.
For those of you who have not watched Top Chef Canada, which is all of you, Top Chef Canada, instead of going to Whole Foods, it's all sponsored by Loblaws, which is like the most amusing Canadian grocery
store. Well, now it's the judge's own grocery store.
It was and then McEwen Foods.
McEwen Foods, because like, who doesn't want to get in the grocery game?
What are the margins on that thing? Oh, Chef Skeletor, right. I mean McEwen.
Chef Skeletor. Man, I wish the Top Chef Canada was widely distributed. Although it is entirely free on YouTube, so if you want to go watch Top Chef Canada, it's like youtube.com/
It's a treat. It's like Top Chef Mini.
It's so delightful. It's really good. It's so good. We also, this week, I found and shared with you, the rest of the team, an episode of Top Chef España.
With no subtitles.
It had some editing issues, guys. I don't know how far you watched, but like...
I guess too long.
Much of it. I did like hearing gibberish, 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 Top Chef. Gibberish, gibberish, gibberish. Oh, yeah!
I watched like 15 seconds and then started howling with laughter. So much so
right in my ear.
Like, I can't handle this. Yeah.
We watched a good half hour, 45 minutes, and then got... Yeah, but the problem is that I think the whole episode is an hour and a half long, so they just show... everything it's and it got really boring. They showed the same four dishes that a team made, like each dish they showed like six times. It's like, how long can I stare at that kind of ugly dish?
Oh man, that's interesting.
Yeah, they were, you could see who was going down in flames in any language though. This
I mean, do you guys speak enough España that you would be able to handle it?
Yeah well, I understood it.
Sarah was doing great and she was pausing to help me along.
Oh, that's nice. I got random words, but not enough to watch it for more than a minute. But the same theme song and some of the same like digital bits. Was
yeah. Fun. Well, you can also see who was not there to make amigos.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, let's talk about this week's episode. We're on episode 7 of Top Chef 11. We had a quick fire today. Let's, Chris. Well, since you're back here, we would. Since you made it back from Last Chance Podcast, why don't you set up the quick fire for us?
Yeah, so sometimes the producers of Top Chef decide that a quickfire should be all about a theme, and sometimes that theme isn't food. What they decided to string together was New Orleans has a lot of great jazz music, and cooking sometimes is about improvisation. So they got jazz legend Kermit Ruffins, who actually, he's the guy on whom the show Tremé is based off of. I mean, he's like a legend in the scene.
It's not exactly based off him, but he plays himself in Tremé, and he's delightful and talented, and it's awesome. I love him from Tremé.
No, he's amazing. And what they did is they just brought him in to like play the trumpet and play musical chairs. Like, you guys walk around in a circle, and there are, you know, 11, 12 different prep stations. When the music stops, that's where you are, and you start cooking. And then they switch three different other times, so that way, like, some people get back to the same station they were at two stations ago, and there's just all this stuff. But you get judged by where you end up. So you get judged on how you finish a dish, not necessarily how you start a dish. So some people got screwed, and some people made out like bandits.
But then also, it was each station was kitted out with something that Kermit likes to cook.
Yeah,
so there were frog legs and microwaves and chicken and other bits.
Yeah, and like one was just microwaves and tofu, basically. One was chicken and stuff, one was fish and stuff, one was pork and stuff, frog legs, there was all this other stuff.
And I like tofu, but microwave tofu does not sound like an appealing way to make that.
I don't know. Nobody said Kermit is a professional chef, he's a professional, basically,
trumpet. He barbecues for his audience.
He does, he barbecues and he plays the trumpet and he's a raconteur, but he is not necessarily a menu planner.
I loved it. I didn't even care that it was very much just random at the end of it. I loved Kermit. I love that his name is Kermit.
At first, I thought his name was Kermit Muffins, and I was like, food names.
Yeah. So,
I know you in general like things that seem random, even sometimes more than you like things that seem fair. What was it that was so delightful besides his name and the fact that it did not have anything to do with cooking skill?
I mean, it's just, it's nice that, like, someone could win. And, like, of course this is how Brian would win a challenge.
Because Brian, in his second rotation, had a frog leg station. He has no idea how to cook those, so he just kind of sautéed some vegetables, hoping it would be helpful. And he lands on something that's been dynamite for, you know, 2-3 rounds in a row, and all he has to do is finish it.
Yeah, it was Nina's, of all people.
Yeah, it was Nina's.
Was it when
he got
Sarah's?
It wasn't Nina's, it was Sarah's, you're right.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Carlos had Redfish with Crispy Skin, which was Nina Station.
Oh, that's right.
Brian had Rockabilly Station, and then Patty ended up on what was... Because they ended up on... Each person did two rotations on this... Like, the station you start out with, you came to in the middle. So you did more than half the work, and then didn't get to plate it. And,
right. Didn't get any credit for it.
It was... I mean, Brian, like, also realized that he had nothing to do with it. I mean, he was as embarrassed as anybody to have won.
He was like
thanks, everybody, for making this dish for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he got immunity out of it.
Yeah.
Which he might have needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about that later. He didn't that much. He wasn't in the bottom.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the bottom.
He was in the bottom team, but
no, I think the chicken, he did okay. He did okay with
his
chicken.
His dish was the best.
He had
the best dish
on the bottom
team. He was the top of the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. He also did not seem to care about helping his team very much. He was like, eh.
I mean, this was fine. I mean, I feel like it's so weird because... I mean, it's obviously silly and not indicative of you as chef in any way, which I'm fine with. I think that I'm totally fine with the quickfire being unrelated and mostly random. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you're not going to have it be about the food, at least make the tie-in make a little bit of sense. But just saying, like, this is improvisation is so silly because every challenge on this show is improvisation. Not one of these challenges has been perfectly execute a recipe we give you.
Yeah, that was silly. But then again, maybe it could tie in with the musical theme because Kermit was playing the trumpet as they walked around the kitchen.
Well, that was the only thing. Yeah, that was the use of him as a trumpet player.
It's like improv is fun. Improv has something to do with music. Musical chairs is fun.
Well, is it? Also, Ruffins said that this challenge was like being in a jazz band. You got to trust your bandmates, mm-hmm. which it is nothing like. Because you're not hoping your bandmates go home for a terrible solo.
True.
It is in every way not about trusting your bandmates.
Yeah, if it was a team and the goal of the quickfire was let's all work together to make the best food each time, then it's trust each other, talk to one another, do things like that. But this was not that at all. This is best individual effort at plating.
Let me ask you guys then, what do you think... of the game theory of this, you know the odds are way against you landing on your own station.
Yeah.
You know,
fourth round.
In the end? Yeah. I mean, they didn't know how many rounds there would be, so it could have been surprise you're back at your station, but it seems like the odds are against that. And no one tried to sabotage besides maybe Brian, or maybe he didn't try, he was just bad. But how do you feel about that? Do you think... None of them, as far as I can tell, tried to sabotage, but would you think they'd been justified if they had?
Yeah, it should have been just like, here are like, you know, 12 dishes of like, you know, microwave tofu. And that's like what...
If everybody's prep was just, here's some I put the tofu in the microwave and walk
away. Yeah, I wanted to keep the tofu as nature intended it. I think it's beautiful that way.
I'm not a fan of sabotage. I think everyone should just try to do their best because it's not fun to watch sabotage. I don't...
Boo! Yes, it is.
I mean, is it fun to watch Rockabilly cook a great dish and Brian get immunity for it?
That's a little fun.
Okay, it's for us.
It's entertaining.
Well, and it was interesting to see like the instantaneous, like when Patty handed off the like super sad salad that eventually ended up...
Oh yeah, she made a side couscous for Nina's dish, and then Nina got back and was like, that's terrible. I'm gonna throw it out.
Two other people hated it.
Threw it out. Yeah. It was someone else. I thought it was Justin.
Justin.
Did Beard throw it away? Yeah, Beard was like, this is disgusting. We can't use this.
Yeah, Justin threw it out, but it was Shirley's. Shirley was the one that was there twice, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I
do remember that Justin finished in the bottom two for a tofu salad that was too boring, which seems inevitable with tofu salad.
Yeah.
But also, if Justin, and he didn't even look upset, he was just kind of like, yeah, whatever.
It's obvious.
No one's going home for this.
I feel like the idea they could like punish him badly for this. It's like, Justin, how could you let yourself stop on this station?
I do have to say... No, go ahead, Tanya.
Oh, I was just going to say the interesting thing about this, because they've done things like this before where it's like, oh, everybody gets started, but you don't get to finish. Like, this has happened before.
Yeah.
But the thing that I thought was interesting here is that everyone could communicate while they were working.
Yeah, that was
right.
Yeah,
yell across the... No, people did.
Some people did.
Yeah, no, they did. Totally did. Yelling. And originally I thought maybe it was against the rules, but then it seemed like everyone was getting away with it, so go figure.
Yeah, it did, and that was kind of interesting. Also interesting, they've also worked together a lot of times as teams. They don't often work together as enemies. That was weird. Yeah. We've had that classic, like, you do step one of the dish and someone else takes it over. But it's not, it's usually like you win as a group, not like
Brian
wins randomly.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, what were you going to say?
Oh, yeah. So, I was going to say that, you know, despite kind of the frustration of it not really being a fair challenge, my favorite thing about this challenge was that when Kermit was announcing his favorites and his not so favorites, his comment for why he didn't like the frog legs was that they were not so tasty. And that was so perfect, because when I don't like something, that's the reason why.
The problem was that it didn't taste as great as it could have.
Yeah.
It tasted bad. Yeah. The end.
I like to think that these judges are at least professional judges are operating at a higher level than that. But almost all of the time, it comes down to, that was really delicious. This wasn't delicious, so what was the problem? But if you're never like, this was really tasty, but a major cooking flaw happened, you're going home.
Yeah.
So I think they're starting there. Let's move on to the elimination challenge. Sarah, why don't you set this one up for us? You can even use my cheat sheet if you'd like.
Sure, I will use your cheat sheet. I will do both. So, the elimination challenge was that the chef testants were supposed to band together and in teams of three create a potluck-style dinner for Kermit and his musicians, his band.
They wanted to trumpet their skills.
They did. Yeah. So, they were separated into the gray team, the blue team, and the green team. Gray was Patty, Brian, Travis, and Nicholas.
Oh, teams of four then.
Yeah, teams of four.
Yeah, so three teams.
Three teams of four, and there were people sub-teamed.
Right, and in that first team, the last person I said was Nicholas, who suffered from the plague the entire episode.
Yeah,
for day one, and then he was magically better, as though he took like Vita pills.
Right. Well, that's actually when he was feeling sick. Yeah, when he was feeling sick, and the doctor came in and said it's strep throat. That is great news, because if you have a cold, it's 7 days no matter what you do. And if it's strep throat, you hit that with antibiotics and it's fast. And like, at least gone. That means there's an answer.
Yeah, you can gargle with penicillin or something.
Yeah, and he looked pretty bad at first. And then by the next day, he looked almost normal. Except, he was kind of had an adrenaline rush or drugs running through his system or something.
Trucker speed.
Running around like crazy and telling people what to do.
Yeah, the inflated sense of ability, I think, was kind of the issue.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think? One of the things I've heard, when I've mentioned Top Chef to some people who are sort of in the TV industry, one of the things that they criticize is the terrible post-production audio that Top Chef does, which Megan and I refer to as Robot Padma.
It's the best.
Where they clearly dub in Padma.
Yeah. Their ADR does not even try.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. So because of this, they had a long time where Robot Padma from the future was explaining that if Nicholas didn't get better, he would forfeit. Which is also, I mean, this comes back to the game theory of the first half. The chefs are mostly honorable on this show because don't you think that the right move, since you're going to be punished for being sick and not rewarded for keeping these people healthy, is to just go breathe on everybody and cook anyway?
Yeah.
What's the incentive to stay home and not cook?
It's just that you'd be getting, like, the judges sick, I think is the thing. Like, you don't want to get Kermit sick.
Probably be angry about that. But
Kermit might beat you.
Ooh, and Gail's Spreggers. What if you get a baby, a fetus with strep throat?
You'd feel bad about that.
I don't know, man.
Doesn't mom just eat antibiotics and then the baby gets them?
I don't know. Antibiotics are so good on that baby.
Oh, I don't know. Well, then, okay, so not the chefs, but maybe, like, not the judges, but maybe just around the house he offers to make the family meal. Like, it's shrimp with shrimp sauce or something.
Yeah. No, it's a ceviche. I didn't heat anything.
I like the idea of, like, the next round of Top Chef, it's like Top Dick, where it's just like, we have this...
You are interested in that, huh?
Yeah, well, just someone's really good at like game theory who just like, well, the best thing I can do is make everyone else's lives miserable.
As I don't want you to Google Top Dick and then go watch that, because it's not going to be what you think.
Why? I think it's. I just gotta make sure the domain name's open.
No, he's doing it. Stop.
Stay away.
Here's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
And this didn't happen because Nicholas got better and he didn't have to forfeit. But I was wondering if he did have to forfeit, would he still get to be on Last Chance Kitchen?
I think so.
Yeah.
I
think they make him forfeit that also. One of the things I remember from last season from the blogs was that Last Chance Kitchen was always like 5 in the morning.
Oh
yeah.
To fit into the taping schedule. And so Tom always pretends he's hungry for dinner at 5:30 when they finish cooking.
Oh, how awful.
Ooh, I am hungry. Yeah.
And it's Halloween. Imagine that.
But here we are in Spain.
But so that would be even worse for Sicilis if he had to wake up at 5 o'clock.
This is the most screen time we've gotten from Nicholas.
It is.
I know who he is now, for sure.
Yeah, he's the one who was sick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, the one who was sick. Okay, well, so did we say who won yet?
No, not yet, but we'll get to that in a second. First, starting at the beginning, this was probably the laziest group selection they've done. It's getting farther away from the knife block every episode. Today was like, pick some teammates.
I feel like Padma maybe just like has tenure or something. She's like, guys, I'm gonna smoke a cigarette. You figure it out.
She's phoning in that part of her job for sure.
Oh my god!
I feel like they owe us some sort of explanation for the next block.
It's called the Big Easy. Why make it difficult?
At some point, it's gonna be alphabetical. They're gonna be like, "Well, your last name is."
Oh, they just go by.
Everybody line up from height, tallest to shortest.
guys, our next season of Top Dick can be set in the Big Hard.
Oh.
I think we should start that petition on whitehouse.gov. Force Top Chef to explain where the knife block went. We have 6 seconds to start.
Yeah.
I know you're listening, some PA at Bravo. Where is the knife block? Write into podcasts@read-weep.com. We wanna know. America demands an answer.
More knife block.
More knife blocks.
So yeah, they separate them out, and the groups are about as rigged as you think they would be if people just get to like pick them themselves.
So right? Justin, Lewis, Shirley, and Sarah, kick ass team. Carrie, yeah. Carlos, Nina, Stephanie, kick ass team. And then the dregs
and Sicky.
which was Patty, Brian, who has immunity, Travis. And Sicilis, so three people who have not been doing very well, and a guy who can't go home, and one might possibly forfeit. I mean, Patty and Travis were basically making a 50-50 shot they'd go home today when they picked
teams. Yeah, no kidding.
That was crazy. And, you know, that happened.
And a couple people didn't know what potluck meant, so...
Oh, was that surprising to you guys, that they're so, like, they're so good at cooking?
Well, it was just Patty, right?
What?
Oh, it was just Patty?
Yeah, that was Patty.
Kept saying, "Oh, you Americans."
But it also seemed like the people who created the challenge also didn't know what a potluck was. Because if potluck is not, let's go to this party and have all of these chefs cook for us.
That's true. That's not
none
that's
of the other happened. Guests who were Kermit's musician friends
this
brought
is a catered
food.
Party.
Yeah. I think they just said potluck style.
It was definitely a pot skill.
Or maybe just... Those guys have just way better potluck than we do, right? Where we have to bring our own dish, but they had some chefs happen to turn up.
I've been doing potlucks all wrong.
Rich people potlucks, it's just many chefs instead of one. That's fun. What it ended up meaning was served in a living room from a bowl. That's all.
Yay!
That part's accurate.
Yeah, and, family style, kind of easy to eat. So I forget who it was. Maybe Doe Eyes was saying.
Friend style.
There's lots of dessert, and so they did a dessert.
Yeah, that's true. Although she's also made dessert every time, so you kind of you think she might have forced
her own hand
not there.
To, but the group made Carrie like, "Well, we need somebody to do dessert, Carrie." And she's like, "What? No.
She put up the softest fight ever, which was like, "Someone needs to make a dessert. Why are you all looking at me?" Fine.
I do like though that she got dinged for like, the classic Top Chef problem of not calling a dish what they think it is.
Oh my god. I saw there was in the coming up on Top Chef and it was Tom like, "When you put a name on food, you have certain expectations."
Yeah. And Sarah, like, actually, when it was being served, Sarah was like, "That doesn't really look that much like tiramisu."
More
like a tureen. Yeah.
Or trifle. There's
Tom being like, "A rose by any other name is not a fucking rose."
I mean, really, I think the key to this show, then, if you just to avoid upsetting Tom, is you can do Megan's, where you just describe it after you've made it when you've screwed up. Mm-hmm. Or it's just called Bowl of Delicious Food. And then Tom can figure it out from there.
Yeah, but the only problem is if it's not delicious. It's like, you know, you set us up for delicious food and it didn't taste delicious.
So then you're double going home?
You're double going home.
You're double going home for your quote-unquote tasty bowl.
Yeah. Or if the bowl is more of a blate, uh-oh.
I would think just like...
Bowl isn't deep enough for a bowl.
No, just call
it a blate, really.
Yeah. A blate. What do you guys think... What do you guys think about the elimination? So damp eyes, not to be confused with doughy eyes. Patty, who's cried almost every episode, went home for making a watermelon salad with boring sauce.
Without the spice, because that never made it onto the plate.
So and close.
In so doing, loses all the tears. She just cries like crazy. Yeah.
She does seem really nice. I'll definitely miss her, although she was easily on Megan and I's list of one of three people who's going home today when the episode started.
Yeah,
that was the thing about Patty. I feel like she's a great example of someone who, like, could totally, like, I sort of don't doubt that she can cook. It's weird. Like, I think she probably is a completely decent cook. She just cannot cook on TV to save her life. Like, there's actually no way she can cook on TV.
And I think she works for David Burke, right?
Yeah, she does. She's great.
The problem was today she just didn't have the foresight to end up on the duck with muscles station in the quickfire. That's all it would have taken. One of the things that I thought was great from her, though, was making a really boring fruit salad, because that is a critical part of every potluck I've ever been to.
It's true.
A
standard.
Somebody phoning it in with, this is a bowl of cut fruit.
Don't mess with the plastics, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
No, I added goat cheese. I'm a chef.
All right. So let's do this. Actually, I just mentioned a second ago that she was on my shortlist to go home. Who's next? Who's still on the shortlist for you guys? Go ahead, Megan.
Are we going to talk about who won before we move on?
Yeah, that's what, it's interesting. I think every episode we've kind of like played down who won, and it's for the same reason that the show makes almost no deal at all. It's like, yeah, you won. Now let's bring out our losing contestants and talk about that for a half hour.
That's true.
Although, we should probably also address the fact that this was the first time that like the video pre-show for the judges in the stew room was kind of inscrutable. Like, it was very difficult to tell. And then they did the old swap-a-rooney. Mm-hmm. Where they called out the losing people first, and everyone like anxiously clapped for them as they left. They were like, "Yay!"
But then in the studio, they're like, "What's happening?" The judges said they liked our food.
And the judges, they called them first, but Padma had no hint of a smile.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
They were trying to read Padma's poker face.
Well, it was also like they called them first, but Patty was there.
Yeah, you know who was on that team, you guys.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. In Padma's defense, she also, almost every time somebody wins, Padma does that thing where she calls in the winning team and then makes the face like she just ran over your cat and is like, you guys, I'm really sorry to say, you had our favorite food! She does the slow roll pretty much.
No, Mittens is fine. She's fine.
She gets a twinkle in her eyes. The Padma twinkle.
Yeah, she's like,
And then when she sent Patty away, she was like, good luck, Patty. She
Padma felt super bad for Patty. She felt really bad for her. Because she was, you could tell that she wanted to,
chase
give her
down.
A hug.
Or just, send someone home with her.
I don't know. For Patty, it seemed like she wanted to be, gracious, but she was just sort of overcome by emotion, so she couldn't really, say anything. And so she just had to leave. And then Padma was like, good luck. It's so sad.
It was really sweet.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the way Tom talked to her on Last Chance Kitchen. We'll get to that in a second.
Gosh. That was brutal.
We'll get to that in a second. So first, let's talk about the tops. So shockingly, Nina was in the top again for her amazing gnocchi. She's continuing
but kind
on.
Of shockingly, she didn't actually win.
No, she took second place. It was a big upset.
So the quote of the day about Nina's food, some guy at the party said about her gnocchi, it's a little bit like fancy hamburger helper. It sounds like an insult, but I like hamburger helper.
What? Musicians. I really enjoyed that. Drunk musicians on food. It was so fun.
I mean, if they could sell fancy hamburger helper, I would buy that. So,
I mean, what would that look like?
Listeners, please mail Ezra a box of hamburger helper with the word fancy written on it.
Now with cardamom. Also, Doe Eyes and Carlos were also in that group with the sponge cake, which was especially good under the tiramisu. So it had no coffee flavor, but it had pistachio sponge cake, which sounds delicious.
Which they microwaved, so impressive again.
And Carlos did a good job on his meats.
Yeah. And then the winner was Stephanie for her artichokes, aioli, capers, all of which were great. Fried artichokes.
Yeah.
Nice
fried capers. Man. They seem like, yeah. You know, this is one of those dishes where I think when a chef does vegetables really, really well like that, the way that actually Kristen last season did the carrots at the Canless Challenge in Seattle, where she won for just doing carrots, you know, it really shows that that chef has a lot of technical skill and they can really pull something off. They don't need fanciness. And Stephanie basically just did a great job at executing a dish. Like, you know, if you look at the recipe I did on Top Chef's website, it's like, you know, ingredient cost, moderate, but recipe, challenging. And you look, and none of the instructions look hard.
Wait, do they rank those on the website? Do they say ingredients cost?
They do. And skill level needed. And this one was challenging, not because of the actual steps, but because how well you had to execute it.
Chris, this isn't a show about food.
It's a show about food TV.
That's a good point. I wish you could, can you sort those recipes? Because I would like to see the most expensive ingredients for the least challenging. this is called like
just
truffle with gold butt.
Patty, Alex.
unopened tin of caviar.
Yeah.
Or any Saffron vending machine challenge. Yeah, the vending machine challenges, ingredient cost, none. Yeah.
Free if you know how to jiggle the machine. Challenge high. Let's talk about this. As I mentioned earlier, I want to know who you guys' picks for who's going home next are.
Travis.
Yeah, if it's not Travis, it's Travis.
Travis.
I think Sickles has still got a chance, and also... you know, Brian's still on this show. I don't know if you guys know that.
Brian has the kind of luck where I feel like he could go for another three weeks.
But has not done anything right yet. Except for landing on the right station. And
he's just been pretty solidly in the middle.
Yeah, because we've seen almost no interviews from him, so he's also not been crying in the bottom. I think those are the obvious bottom three, too.
Also, maybe
this?
Lewis, maybe Sarah, because they're both hit or miss.
Yeah, they can kind of flame out. Sure. Well, I think that's a good call.
But yeah, this hair is only getting fiercer.
Where
so
if you're like,
we don't know what's happening there.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. She is. How about this then? Let's do this. I'm going to call this also. Let's dish. Who would you like of the remaining contestants? Who would you guys most enjoy hanging out with during an amusing cutscene?
Stephanie.
Shirley.
I'll take that. Shirley talks really fast and has a lot of ideas.
I think Stephanie has. A great sense of humor. She has like this awesome, like she's very self-deprecating, but just has this great sense of humor at the same time. And
yeah, she's been funny several times. I really like her.
When she won, she said that I literally haven't won anything since high school, and that was most improved my senior year in basketball. It's really funny. She's just so funny.
Which is the classic non-compliment award. Like, you were really bad a couple years ago.
He's also coach's choice. I've got that.
Coach's choice?
This kid deserves a medal. He didn't earn it.
He showed up to practice.
If it's not competitive, I'd like to hang out with Ezra. I like that. None of you guys are like tempted to hang out with Nina and her gossip girls.
I would choose Nina and Travis.
Oh, Nina and Travis would be fun.
That would be my pick.
We didn't have anybody talking to their family today, but Nina did say she was really sad to lose her other friend in the clique.
Oh, yeah.
But at least I have Travis. And the way she said it, I was like, oh, God, Travis is going home any second. That is ominous.
But I felt like he got a little more, slightly more accomplished. I mean, the rub was too much.
But it wasn't bad. Like, I think people generally. But, I don't think it was.
Yeah, I was like, this
that.
Is a good rub.
But some people, some people were much more positive on his rub than others.
Yeah, some people really liked that rub.
That was the rub was on his ribs. He had ribs with like a caramel sauce, a caramel rub.
It was a coffee, type
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, which isn't caramel glazed ribs.
Yummy.
Yeah, and he also helped Brian on the Togarashi fried chicken, which I don't even know what that is, but wow.
That went over really well.
For the first time, Lewis cooked something that people liked for the first time.
Yeah, he had the grilled and pickled veggies, and they were really, they thought that was great grilling something that was pickled, which I agree is pretty clever.
I have to say, Lewis is my Nicholas. I forget that he's on the show a lot.
Wait, I'm sorry. He's your Nicholas? In what way?
He's my Sickles. He's the one I always forget. I'm like, Lewis, you did what? Totally. Why are you here?
Totally. Although Lewis has a He has a pizza place in Northern California, which I
That's right. Yeah. Maybe I'll eat it. I'm not gonna go to Healdsburg.
It's kind of far.
Yeah. Where is that?
It's like 2 hours.
From here. It's just 2 hours.
Anywhere you go, you'll end up there.
It's 2 hours north.
Imagine a circle with a 2 hour radius. It's in the middle of that. All right.
So it's everywhere.
That brings us to the our last part today. It's time to talk about the Last Chance Kitchen, last chance to be on television. Tanya, why don't we have it be your turn? Why don't you talk us through the Last Chance competition challenge thing?
Okay, so hold on just a moment.
Yeah, so Patty's gone home for her crappy watermelon salad, and Tom greets her, and she's going to cook against Janine.
Indeed. Yeah. And so, and I it was interesting because Chris and I were kind of talking about this as we went into Last Chance Kitchen, who we thought would make it. And also I do want to talk really briefly about something that I found really devastating. There was the graphic at the bottom of the screen.
Oh God.
That was
Patty versus Janine. Who's going to win?
So let me,
and like
this.
Internet voters.
Chris. Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is something I mentioned
really...
last week. This is the thing I mentioned last week that my sister had written to ask us about, which was the Insta polls the Top Chef is doing that take up a third of the screen. And it's an instant internet poll. And the question was, who's going to win Last Chance Kitchen, Patty or Janine? 0% for Patty. Even Patty's mom didn't vote for her.
Felt like they should have waited to like put that up until after the votes came in. And then they'd be like,
They did the same internet flashball, who's going to win the quickfire, before Kermit actually started saying who were the tops on the quickfire.
Yeah. It's a spoiler.
Yeah. It's weird. I guess you can't, I mean, you could put up the poll. I just wish that they just put up a picture of, like, Tom shrugging and been like, whoops, we lost the data.
Technical difficulties. We'll be right back.
Our data didn't even make it onto the plate.
Yeah, but for this one, it was weird because Tom kind of, like, dug deep with Patty. Like, he was like, so you're a sous chef. And like, you acted like a prep cook. He was really, he was kind of harsh in a way that I'm not used to from Tom. Yeah. Even though, I mean, he's always very straightforward, but like this was a little extra like,
I feel like he definitely cuts loose a little bit more in Last Chance Kitchen, but that was rough.
That's really rough. Especially for someone whose self-confidence seems
shaken. I mean, especially, I feel like if Padma had been there, she would have like hid him under the table or something. like, not to Patty! Anyway.
You guys want to say something nice about Patty, generally?
Yeah, let's all go around the circle. Even you guys in the chorus.
In the dry chairs.
The corner.
Say something nice about Patty, but couch it in sexism if you could.
If you could, just start and end your comments with boo-boo, if you would.
All right,
anyway, I'm sorry. So
hit us with the challenge.
Yeah, so the challenge basically was... So you are basically a prep cook, act like a prep cook. So basically you're going to take this big bin of onions, which is sort of like the starter vegetable to chop for like anyone getting going in like the restaurant industry. Yeah. So you're going to chop all your onions and then you're going to do all your knife work before you start cooking, which basically means at the start of your actual cooking, you are no longer allowed to go back and do any knife work.
Or any utensil work.
Or any utensil work at all.
Yeah,
so you're doing all your prep ahead of time.
She got caught trying to use some tongs as a knife.
Oh, Janine did,
Janine, after the knife was taken away.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that even totally summarizes it, because it felt like several challenges at once. So it's kind of hard to explain as one coherent challenge. Because it was cut onions, no cooking after your prep is done, also incorporate onions into your dish in a major way, which turns out does not matter if you don't.
Turns out nobody wanted to do that, so nobody did.
Neither did it.
Yeah.
It was a complicated challenge, and Tom was mean. And then they both sort of didn't seem to have a problem with the onions and then moved on. It was like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were both kind of beasts about it, too. It's great. This is one of the things I like about Top Chef a lot, is just watching pros do pro thing.
Of course.
They're just like destroying those onions, like getting through it really, really quickly, and then getting on to the actual business of chefing.
It was kind of silly, though, right? It was like, you have 40 minutes to cook. You have to spend the first 8 to 9 minutes doing onions, and then you'll have 31 or 32 minutes to cook.
Yeah, so really the challenge was, you have 31 minutes to cook and your eyes hurt.
Right, and you've also been near an onion balm recently.
Yeah, so it's a pretty straightforward challenge that way.
And yeah, and they both prepared pork, which is interesting, I guess. And then Hattie's sin was that she oversalted her potatoes to a criminal degree.
Yeah,
and
where Tom could barely get one down.
Yeah, whereas Janine discovered lids and accidentally steamed her pork chop instead of.
There was there was some great Tom in this as well, in that this is a classic Top Chef thing, that if you're ever on Top Chef, free bit of advice, if Tom says, "Do you think you have time for that?" The answer
is time for that.
The answer is, make it stop. Oh, make it stop.
Tom knows his shit. And if he comes over and is like, "Oh, it doesn't look like you're getting a sear on it," give up. You did not get a sear on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Blew it.
If he ever says, if he ever asks you a question, then you give an answer and he says, "Okay. You fucked up. You fucked up.
You can prep the knives now so you don't have to do it later. Just get
Home. I'm getting a new piece of pork and heating this pan to be searing hot. So I get caramelization. Because then what he does is he goes over to the drunk guys in the chairs watching and he goes, she's sweating her pork.
Yeah. He totally made fun of her. Ah, to the people sitting on the side. Oh, that was weird.
Yeah.
For the record, on my show, Top Dick, they sweat their pork a lot.
Can I unsubscribe from the Top Dick updates?
Report as spam.
Do you guys think, so obviously it wasn't that close because she'd cooked, Janine's food was good, if not seared, and not over salty, so it wasn't that close. But Tom made it seem like it was close for a second. Do you guys think at this point, now that Janine's mowed down 7 people, do you think she has any, like, home field advantage?
Yeah, no. She has a thirst for blood.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I really don't.
I guess, okay, go ahead. Yeah, tell me.
Everyone who comes back into Last Chance Kitchen from losing is fresh off the chopping block, relatively speaking, and is looking for redemption. And it only takes one loss, and your contestants are getting better every single time. So even though you think, I'm doing 23 hours a day, I'm drinking and hanging out in a hot tub, and 1 hour a day, I'm in a kitchen, like everybody else, like, that makes you soft. I think it's hard to keep your edge against somebody who's hungry every single time.
I like that she has confidence, right? So, like, they're all coming from being, like, doing terribly, and she's only doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, that would make sense if it was, like, RoboChef Last Chance Kitchen, but I feel like a lot of people go home because they're, like, working. Yeah, because they're, like, polishing up their nervous breakdown every quickfire they lose, and every time they, like, mess something up, and every time, like, Gail's like, no, no, no. Like, that's, like, there's just, like, stuff going wrong left and right.
Radish dress!
Yeah, and then, you get to Last Chance Kitchen, and you're like, I want this, but I don't know if I'm good enough, and I have to learn to cook my food, and, like, if you're a bundle of nerves, and then Janine's like, hey, thank you, Tom, but...
After Brian and Travis and Nicholas are sent home in the next 3 weeks, and then Sarah in the next 4 weeks, once that's done and we start eliminating great chefs, then it might be different. It's people who have been doing well until they lose. But right now, you've still got 3 or 4 chefs who have not done anything right getting sent home. And that's going to be easier for Janine. So there's 2 parts, I guess. I think maybe she has some home field advantage more literally, like she knows this kitchen better. Mm-hmm. And she's used to this kind of challenges and Tom's sassiness and the hecklers. But I think actually what I really meant was more of like an incumbent advantage. Like, does Ty go to Janine at this point? If you're Tom, because she's done well, does it take a more decisive victory to unseat her? Or are you just waiting to do it?
I hate to say it, but maybe Ty goes to Pretty Girl.
Huh?
Really?
I think Ty goes to whoever Tom likes better. Whether it's Janine, which it's been so far.
Yeah, whether he likes her because she's a pretty girl with a good accent, or...
Or just better than Patty and everyone else so far.
Also, let's be clear, I know that my Janine accent was a British accent, and a bad one at that. So no one needs to let me know that in the comments, it's fine. I like to think Tom is more level-headed than that.
Yeah.
I think it's about the food still.
But I guess what I mean is if it's close, if it's not, if the food is so close, and because food is just so hard to decide, like which of these 2 perfectly cooked fish dishes with different flavor profiles am I going to choose? That's such a hard question that the girl who you've kind of become friends with because she's been winning for so many, you know, you've spent every 5 a.m. with for the last week, maybe, like, you feel like you owe her something, or that you really have to know that she's lost in order to unseat her.
Tom must be pretty good at this, though, right? Like, he's, like, sent home, like, hundreds of people now.
It's true. He is very good at this. There's no doubt. And this is his show, right? He's an executive producer and has been since day one. And there are times even when there's, like, an argument at the judges' table, and it seems like Tom is calling in authority. Like, it seems like Tom's like,
I know your
opinion, but I disagree. And it's like, yeah. Oh, okay.
He's like, well, we can send her home, or I can cancel this show.
Or go get a real job. Yeah, oh, that's funny, Gail. How would you like to not be famous? Yeah, all right. I think that's it. Any final thoughts?
I'm just going to check here to see if I...
Make sure you got
anything.
I mean, I would like to point out that Tom alluded to... well, he twit-picked a tattoo that he got
in Nola,
and said, this is what happens when you have too much fun in New Orleans. So I feel like stuff is happening, and it just makes me want to try and figure out when they are more drunk in the tapings.
He's definitely having a good time, I can tell. This seems like one of Tom's favorite seasons so far. I think he's enjoying this immensely.
I thought that there was a lot of, like, I don't know if it was just the editing, but I did feel like there were a lot of awkward moments during the potluck. Like, Kermit would say something, and then someone would fire back, and then they would just cut to something else, and you'd be like, yeah, was that the end of that interaction? Yeah. Like, what happened
Where
there,
that
guys?
Lady's like, that's why you didn't come to my party? That's why? And he's like, yeah. You said you were busy. That was weird. Well, I wasn't.
Way really? Awkward with the band people. Ooh.
Yeah, it got so much more awkward. And the guy who, like, ran up and they captioned him as though he were, like, a real person. And then he told Kermit a story, and Kermit was like, you're creeping me out. Like, he's like, that was a real good time.
Yeah. It seemed like maybe the editor also, Kermit didn't go to his party either. And he was like, the editor was like, people have to know Kermit's a jerk.
Well, can we talk? Let's summarize what that story was, because the story that Kermit got told would also freak you out. He was like,
it's true.
So remember this time this musician did the greatest solo of all time, which was, he's like a jazz musician. He faked his own death at the beginning of the song, pretended to have a heart attack, and then right at the last note, jumped up and played the note.
Yeah,
that's not the best solo. That's a friend who takes things too far. Needs to not be in the band anymore. That's who that guy is.
Yeah, yeah. It was awkward on all sides. I couldn't figure out why we were watching it.
Yeah. Although I do like the idea of going to see a show where Kermit plays the trumpet and then cooks for me. That sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm.
He's putting one hand for each.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much for listening to us. If you want to have a final thought and add it into the show, please go to packyourmics.com, or you can send us email feedback podcast at read-weep.com. I especially love that we've gotten some questions. We've got some great questions that we enjoyed talking about that I hadn't even thought of. So please send us an email with your questions for the panel, something you want to know in an intro or a full segment or anything. Also, definitely let us know if you think Tom is picking pretty girls, because I'd love to get more data on that, and whether or not you voted for Patty in Last Chance Kitchen. If you're Patty's mom, please write us in and tell us.
The voting had closed. I was just picking up my phone.
I was, that's so sad. And then Patty's mom starts crying because she didn't get the help. I would love it if you would also tell us if you've been to any other Top Chef testants' restaurants and what you thought of them. I'd love to know where we should go. And who would you like to hang out during an amusing cutscene? These are all great things. I'd love to hear from you. So packyourmics.com. Also, you can go to packyourmics.com/Amazon to support our show. Anytime you buy something from Amazon, we can get a small percentage. So go there each time and then buy your things like you normally would. Thanks for being here, Ezra and Sarah. Really nice to talk to you guys.
Yep. Of course.
And thanks for being here, Tanya and Chris.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Chris, welcome back. Nicely done. I want to give you a little bit of self-esteem again.
Aw, well, I have had a good run.
You have. You've done a great job. And Megan, thanks as always for joining me.
Absolutely.
Really fun. All right. One last thing. Chris?
Fun. Yep.
Pack your mics and go. All right, we'll talk to everybody next week. Bye.
Find us on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Chris is right. We also have at Pack Your Mics on Twitter and facebook.com/packyourmics. We have all of the social media now. We're going to twit pick a picture of Tom's tattoo. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.